You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, Dustin Pedroia underwent wrist surgery recently. It doesn't sound like there's a great deal of concern. It sounds like this is considered relatively routine. With that said, I'm of the opinion that wrists and hitters are always scary. What's your understanding of what happened here, what the prognosis is, and what kind of the winter looks like for Pedroia?
Yeah, Matthew, the surgery itself isn't a big concern because, like you said, it's a relatively minor procedure, not that uncommon. He should be fully ready to go for the start of spring training. That's why they wanted to shut him down for the last couple weeks of the season and get this done. Now, the thing that's concerning is that he's had continual hand injuries the last 2-3 years now. In 2013, he had a head first slide into first base at Yankee Stadium on opening day. And basically, in typical Pedroia fashion, played through the whole season with that. You know, a lot of people would have shut down and had the surgery and been out 6 weeks. But he played and it really cost him his power. I think he hit 9 home runs last year. And then the same thing this year was in the home opener against Milwaukee on a takeout slide. You know, he tumbled down and sort of re-injured that same hand. And again, sort of just like he does, sort of stoically played through that. And again, he had, you know, not the power we were used to seeing from him. Not that he's ever been a 30 home run hitter, but Pedroia, one of the reasons he's always been so valuable, he's a guy who can hit you 15, 20 home runs, you know, from a second baseman, from a number two hitter in the order. So that's the big concern, that these hand injuries kind of keep happening to him. And, you know, hopefully they can nip this in the bud now and he can have a year kind of like the year he really hasn't had since 2011, when he was really one of the top hitting second basemen in the game.
Is the club confident that it really was just a matter of not being healthy this year? Because there is some history. Second basemen tend to be a little like running backs. They can go quickly. He's 31. I'm not suggesting he's done by any means, but is the club confident that this down year was just a matter of him not being healthy all year, or is there some level of worry that maybe this was the start of a decline in the position, where decline can come early and swiftly?
Yeah, you know, I think that they're hopeful because they do have reasons for the decline in the numbers in both last year and this year, where there was clear-cut hand injuries. And as we all know, hands relate directly to hitting. So I think they'd be more concerned if they saw a completely healthy Dustin Pedroia not be able to, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark or off the wall. But again, 2 years in a row, it's basically happened in the first 5 games of the season, and he's played through it all year. So I think that because, you know, this guy works as hard as any athlete I've ever seen, and he's just he's one of those guys, I think, much like we talked about with John Lester at one point, I think he can be an outlier about the whole, the whole age thing because of just how hard he works and how seriously he takes his craft. So I don't think they'll be concerned about a real decline in Pedroia until he has a completely healthy year where he doesn't, he doesn't produce. You know, I think the question is, you know, can he stay healthy? I think that's probably the bigger question right now.
The other thing, not to nitpick, because it was always sort of a bonus for a guy who's such a complete all-around player, but he ran a lot this year. Is that one thing you do kind of maybe expect to see as he gets into his 30s? Maybe he goes from a 20-25 stolen base guy to a 10 stolen base guy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you try to conserve those legs as long as you can. And, you know, the place they really want his legs and his speed and his quickness are on defense, because I really haven't seen much of a decline there, if any. You know, he's a really, really, really good second baseman. I think, you know, his defense might have been overlooked even a little bit over the years because of just how good he is offensively. But he's, you know, still one of the top 3 to 5 second basemen defensively in all of baseball. He has the Gold Gloves to prove it. So yeah, if you're gonna cut down on some wear and tear by not having to steal as much, I think that's fine. I don't think that's a huge part of his game or a huge part of the Red Sox success.
And that does lead into my next question, which is, I don't see these guys every day. I certainly try to watch as much as I can, but you see them every day. the defensive numbers are as good as they've ever been, and in fact, by some measures, this has been his best defensive season. Does that match up with what you've seen with your eyes, that he is as good as, if not better than ever, defensively?
Yeah, I mean, this guy is the total package on defense. I mean, he makes a play every day, just about every day, where it leaves you shaking your head. Makes a spectacular play, makes a routine play. He's as good at turning the double play as there is. So, yeah, I think that those defensive metrics you mentioned, they're dead on from what I've been watching the last 2-3 years.
And while he's out, another kind of interesting thing happened here, which is that the Red Sox moved Mookie Betts over to be the guy to take that spot while Pedroia is out for the remainder of the year. Now they're saying his long-term future is in the outfield. Is there any way, I mean, he's obviously not going to take the second base job long-term unless Pedroia is hurt, but is there any way that his future is somewhere other than center field?
Yeah, I think it's, Mookie Betts is the type of athlete where he can play just about anywhere. So, yeah, I think that there is a chance. I think he's really a guy they're keeping their options open to see how their roster is constructed for next year. But I think for the last, in the real short term, I think that this Pedroia injury allowing Betts to go to second base, that's erased a little bit of a problem for them, because I didn't see how in the last 2 weeks of the season they were going to be able to fit in, Ruzny Castillo and, Jackie Bradley Jr. and Mookie Betts and get everyone the at-bats they need and keep getting these evaluations that they're looking for. And now, you put Betts at second base, so that opens up, Ruzny Castillo will get to Pittsburgh on Wednesday to make his debut for the Red Sox. So you can just pretty much put him out there most of the time and see, get a little taste of what you're going to have from him, and also keep Mookie Betts playing every day.
Is Betts a guy that maybe plays multiple positions long-term? I'm just kind of get a handle, because he's a guy who has kind of come out of nowhere, a year, or not out of nowhere, that's not fair, but a year ago, the center fielder was Jackie Bradley. Heck, 3 months ago, the center fielder was Jackie Bradley. And I do just kind of wonder, if you're grooming a guy to be your center fielder, it seems like, especially if he's not a center fielder by trade, you want him getting all the innings out there he can get. And I realize they're filling a need, but they're also filling a need on a team that isn't going to the postseason. So is there some is the plan, again, less obvious than maybe just he's center fielder? You mentioned the versatility. Is it as interesting as it looks from outside, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, I think it is, because, look, the Red Sox have a lot of roster flexibility right now going into the offseason, because they have several guys who can play a few different positions. And, this is why Kevin Youkilis was so valuable for a long time, because he can play first and third, and Theo Epstein back in those days could be really sort of open-minded about what he was going to do. That 1 year he went and got Adrian Gonzalez, and he could just move Youkilis over to third base. It's kind of similar with Mookie Betts, where he can play all over the diamond. And in a worst-case scenario, if all the spots are filled on next year's roster, you make him a super utility guy, until a spot opens up for him. So, I think that he is a guy that has that athleticism where he can play all over the field. So I don't think you necessarily have to lock in a position for him right now. I think you need to see how they get through this offseason, what trade chips they need to fill their needs, kind of who's left, and then go from there.
Yeah, one of the other topics we've talked about a couple of times recently is Koji Uehara. He's back on the mound this week. He had a decent inning. Where does that stand? Did he look sharper? Did he look more like what you're kind of expecting to see? And how does he fit in over the next 2 weeks, and more importantly, I think, beyond this year?
Yeah, I think that the rest was good for him, not just physically but mentally. This is a guy who puts a lot on himself, and when he's not performing up to the way he expects or the way other people expect, he really takes it hard. And I think that he needed that break. He looked pretty good the other day in Kansas City. And I think the plan right now is to get a few more of those low-leverage situations. And I think the last week of the season, you kind of put him back in there the ninth inning to see how that looks and to see if he's a viable option to be their closer next year. I still think that they would love for him to be their closer next year, because they know what he brings to the table. They know what he does when the pressure is at the highest. And I think that their A plan right now would be for Koji to be a closer next year. I think that they're pretty confident they can re-sign him, but they just want to get a little look at him the last week of the season to make sure that he's not in full decline right now, which has happened before to 39-year-old pitchers.
That was going to be my next question. Are they pretty confident that if they want him back, he wants to be back there?
Yeah, I mean, he's become really comfortable here in Boston, and I think that this is a place that he would love to finish up his career. And you know, I think that they've had some talks with him, and obviously by not trading him, like they traded a bunch of other guys at the trade deadline, I think that they were kind of showing how much they believe in him, and I think that meant something to him at the time. So I still think there's a pretty good chance that Koji comes back next year.
I want to talk about one more aging and maybe even you might say aged key Red Sox player. A month ago, David Ortiz was hitting .245. He had a .337 on base. It wasn't looking like a real good year. Since then, he's had one of those months that he has. He's now up to the kind of numbers that fit right in line with where he's always been. Can this guy keep doing this? How long can he keep doing this?
It's like we've been waiting for him to sort of drop off for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. And he keeps doing it because, one thing I think that, you underestimate is that he doesn't have the same wear and tear as a regular player because he's not playing any defense. His job is to hit 4 or 5 times a day. He works awfully hard in the weight room, doing what he does to stay ready. So right now, I can't see him just, it seems to me he's still going to be a pretty productive player next year. I think if David's really enjoyed this last month because he's had Cespedes hitting behind him. And I think at this point, David would like to not have to be the guy. He'd like to have somebody else who's comparable to him behind him. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think as long as they surround him with the players like Cespedes and maybe they can go out and get another bat this winter, then I don't see any reason why he can't keep producing at a pretty good level. I'm not going to say he's going to hit 35 homers and driving 110 every year, but David Ortiz is hitting 20 to 25 home runs and driving at 90 at the age of 39, which will be next year. I think that's still a pretty good player that a lot of people would like to have on their team.
Can you see him having a Giambi-like tail to his career and maybe sticking around for a couple of years even after he's a full-time guy and kind of being pinch hit leader kind of thing? Or is he a guy where when he's not really a star anymore, he probably just hangs it up?
Yeah, I think that he probably just hangs it up. It reminds me of a quote that Tom Brady had last week when he said, look, he said, when I start to suck, I'll retire. And I thought that was a great line. And I think that, David would be of the same mindset. I don't think he's done enough in this game, or I don't think that he's going to feel the need to be out there just getting 175 or 200 bats for a key pitch hit. I think he'll be happy with all he's accomplished in his career and, right off in the sunset and just be Big Poppy, in another facet of life somewhere.
Well, as a fantasy player, we can revisit that Brady issue another day. But Ian Brown, thanks for chatting ball here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.